It is the new year, and it is a time of year of fresh starts and new beginnings. It reminds me of the new life that we have in Christ after being born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We make New Year's resolutions about our health, about our finances, about our goals in life. Maybe you want to start a new hobby, read more books, prioritize growing relationships. Hopefully we make resolutions about our faith, to grow in our love and our joy that we find in the Lord, to grow in godliness, to grow in peace, patience, and kindness, and goodness, gentleness, self-control, love. Now is the perfect time to start that new Bible reading plan, scripture memorization plan, to commit to serve, and to give in the church in ways that you've been reluctant to or hesitant to in the past. But in the 5 days left that you have between today and Quitter's Day on Friday, I have a challenge for you. Do your thing with your New Year's resolution. Then I want you to consider this for 2026. Make 2026 less about you and more about others. Commit 2026 to living for Jesus and his desires for your life versus a life constantly obsessed with ourselves. In other words, live a self-denying life for Christ and a self-denying love for others this year. In our continuation of Romans, now in chapter 15, Paul's been discussing primary and secondary Christian issues and what maturing Christians should focus on. The goal is to honor God with our life, to glorify God with our lives, living fully for Jesus Christ, finding complete joy in Jesus in your life. And that's a battle within itself, right? Sin gets in the way. Our flesh gets in the way, tempts us to want to find all of our joy and our satisfaction, our delight in other things in life. So there's that battle just to enjoy God, just to delight in him. But many get caught up in things that only distract the church. Instead of focusing on these things, instead of focusing on love, instead of focusing on joy in Jesus, instead of focusing on advancing the gospel, we get caught up in the weeds. We make minor issues major issues within the church. We tend to make the Christian life less about what God teaches in the Bible and more about what we want, what our preferences are. But that's not the heart of the maturing Christian. But what do we do then when we're interacting with others and they're so caught up in frivolous issues that it's compromising relationships and it's compromising church unity? Jesus calls us to a self-denying love. But it's bigger than just those types of issues. It's a type of life that Jesus calls us to constantly, all day, every day. A life that dies to self and lives for Jesus. A life that dies to self and loves others with everything that we have. And then you trust God in that kind of life. That's the battle, right? The battle is, if I don't go after these things myself, then who's going to provide them for me? So faith says, I'm going to live for Christ, and I'm going to trust that he's going to provide those things for me. That's the faith that we want to have. Our passage today in Romans 15, 1-4 speaks to how we live a life of self-denial and what it looks like in the church. So let me read verses 1-4. I apologize that I'm going to have to take some coughing breaks and some just breaks to catch my breath. We'll get there together. Verse 1, chapter 15. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So first, we see in verse 1, the mature Christian's obligation is a self-denying love. The part of verse 1, this part, is is not so much to differentiate between who or what is the strong and the weak. Paul's covered that. He covered that in chapter 14, right? Those who are finding joy in the freedoms that Christ provides versus those who have not yet realized that joy in the freedoms Christ provides. The point is here, though, that those who are mature in Christ have an obligation, meaning they are bound by Jesus, an obligation to bear with the failings or the flaws or the weaknesses or the immaturity of those who have not yet arrived to a point of spiritual maturity. Don't confuse knowledge with maturity. A lot of times someone knows a lot about the Bible and is very immature in Christ. We confuse firm principles with maturity. We confuse vocal or loud opinions with maturity. Maturity is biblical. It's what the Bible teaches. Our lives, our hearts, our words, our action in line with what Jesus is and what Jesus has taught. Maturity is biblical. Maturity is full of love. It seeks God's glory. It seeks the upbuilding of others. That's a mature Christian. Not somebody who's out for themselves. Not someone who's the sin police. Not someone who's the holiest person in here, but a person who lives for God's glory, lives to love others, and lives to see others grow in Christ-likeness. Those who have a maturity have an obligation to put the spiritual growth of those who don't above themselves and their desires. In other words, the spiritually mature in Christ live lives of self-denying love for the sake of others. So how do we do that? There's three ways I think this passage teaches us how we do it. How we can have self-denying love and what it looks like. Verse 2 says that it seeks to build up neighbors. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. So what this isn't, it isn't people pleasing. Right? We don't live our lives just to please others and make them happy with everything that they need and everything that they want. That's not what Paul is teaching here, especially towards every opinion and point of view, because I promise you there's, 40 people in here or so and probably 45 different points of view on how things should be done and what we should be doing, right? So we can't switch everything up based on what everyone wants. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is that you love others towards their spiritual growth, towards biblical spiritual growth. That's how you please your neighbor, to build them up. It's not love to give in to everyone's opinion or have a fear of others getting upset at you, so you do things their way. What is truly love is being patient, bearing with others, spiritual immaturity. Not just to do it, not just to bear with them, but you bear with them with the intent of building them up in Christ. We all interact. We all can be spiritually mature, right? Immature. How does God deal with us? Does he cut us off? Does he shut us down? Does he shame us? Does he punish us? Or does he bear with us? You think of the fruit of the Spirit that I mentioned at the beginning, right? The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. When that's not the characteristic of our life, when our life is very immature in those ways, how does God interact with us? Does God interact with us in a way that shames us, cuts us off, makes us feel less than, or does God bear with us for the purpose of building us up in those areas? So how do we interact with others when we notice those things in others? The point is to not get within ourselves, not cut people off, not think about how they're treating us, but to bear with them for the purpose of seeing them grow in those areas. That's what's truly love. Being patient with other spiritual immaturity. Seeing them grow in Christ-likeness. Seeing them grow in joy in Jesus. Seeing them grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We tend to live in a world where we judge each other by our worst days, don't we? We say something awful. We do something awful. And then we label each other. That's who that person is. Well, I've seen Scott lose his temper, so he must be an angry man, right? I've seen so-and-so. I use Scott because Scott would not harm a fly. Literally. When we're at small group and a fly is flying around, he doesn't want it to be. But right, we do that, don't we? We judge each other by the worst days that we've had. And that's not what the Bible teaches. We don't want to be held to that kind of standard for ourselves. You think of a parent, right? A parent could demand instant obedience from their child. But instead, they get down to their level. They explain what is happening, what's going on. They listen, they correct gently, because the goal is what? Not just obedience, mindless, heartless obedience, but growth. Growth in Christ-likeness. So that's the idea in mind. Putting aside your instant comforts, your instant frustrations or angers, in order to build up brothers and sisters in Christ. In other words, a self-denying love. The next point, maybe the most critical, how do we know that we're the mature one? How do we know that how we're feeling, how we're viewing things is the way that is right? Well, we base it off of what we see and what we know of Jesus as revealed in his word. The what would Jesus do kind of self-denying love. Verse 3, self-denying love is modeled after Christ. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. The foundation of why we should live this way, a life of self-denying love, is because Jesus lived this way. That's what we want to model our lives off of. Right? Think about it. If what Romans says is true, that all things work together for good for those who love God, who've been called according to his purpose, the reason why those are the good that those things work together for is our growth in Christlikeness. If the reason why we're still here on this earth is to grow in holiness, grow in Christlikeness, then shouldn't we look at Christ in the Bible and say, okay, that's how God wants us to live? That's the perfect human being right there. That's how God wants us to love. So we look at Christ as our example. The foundation of why we should live this way is because Jesus lived this way. His whole life was lived to glorify God and to build us up in him, to grow us in godliness. He says in Matthew 16:24, it says, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You want to come after Jesus? You want to follow? You want to be his disciples? This is what he's telling you. He says in Matthew 10, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So this is an optional thing. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There's no biblical example of insisting on your own way. The biblical example is denial of self. The verse quoted here in verse 3 is from Psalm 69:9, and it's that of the suffering servant. The mission of the cross, Psalm 69 is talking about. We often think of self-denial, and what do we think about? We think of the battle against sin, right? We think our flesh wants these things that we know are against God's ways. And so we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny the things that our flesh wants and follow Jesus. And we think of it as if it's only just a battle against sin of what self-denial is. And let me say, it is that. It is that. It's at least that. But I think it's more than that. Christ-like self-denial is putting the goods of others before your own and trusting that God will provide for you. We think about that when we give, right? We give. Giving is supposed to be done joyfully and sacrificially. It's supposed to sting a little bit, but it's supposed to be done with a joyful heart that says, I'm going to give this, Lord, trusting in you, that you're going to provide for me as I'm obediently and joyfully doing this. It's the same kind of thing. It's a self-denial of what we would normally do with our time, with our money, with our responses, and giving and trusting God with the results. It's putting others before your own self. It's laying down your life, your time, your money, your way of doing things, your preferences for the spiritual good of others. This is the gospel. This is what Jesus did. He had every right when he became one of us to demand what he deserves, to demand to be a king and to be worshipped and be treated that way. But he put that aside for the purpose of our spiritual growth. He had every right not to die on that cross because he's the only one who ever deserved not to be punished for sin. But he put that aside for your spiritual growth so that you could be saved. A putting aside what he deserved, the Father turned his face away from him. None of us know what that's like because none of us have spent an eternity in pure joy with God the Father. So none of us would know what it's like to then lose that even for a second and the utter despair that that would bring. But he did that for you so that you would grow because he cared about your eternity. So then if we're going to model our lives after Christ, we look at others and we say, and we look at the things going on in their lives, and we say, what is God calling me to sacrifice? What kind of self-denying love is he calling me to here so that this person will grow? Right? Will grow. It takes a lot. It takes a supernatural act. But that's what he's called us to. Supernatural act like forgiving others versus holding grudges. Providing financial help. Listening to others. We live in a world where instant headlines, right? We're so distracted. We got like 5 seconds of attention before our brain wants to move on to something else. But sitting down, giving your time to listen to somebody, serving others, being emotional support for others. Self-denying love is for building up. And self-denying love is modeled after the example and the teachings we have of Christ himself. And lastly, verse 4, self-denying love is motivated by and sustained by Scripture. It says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So, the context, what it means to have self-denying love that models Jesus to build others up, isn't defined by our own opinions. It's not defined by our own preferences that I think this is right, or I think this is the way that things should be done, or I think this is what area this person needs to grow in. It's motivated, meaning it's the encouragement, and it sustained the endurance through Scripture. The Word of God shows us the areas that we're supposed to grow in, right? That's why the fruit of the Spirit are so important. We want to grow in these areas. These are areas that we want to mature in. Scripture should spur us on to self-denying love for others' growth, and it should motivate us when we read it. And we absolutely should read it. Read the Word. Read God's Word. Get lost in it. Think about what it means. Don't just read it for informational purposes. You know it. You've read it. You know that, you know the story. You know the way it goes. Go to it for instruction. Think about this. This is God through the Holy Spirit. Used, worked through men to write these words, all their experiences, all their life, to write these words. And what Paul's saying in this verse, verse 4, was that these things happen for your instruction so that you can have encouragement and endurance to love others, to do the things that God has called you to. So when you spend time with the Lord in the morning or in the evening, whenever it is, and it's just you and the Lord and your open Bible, and you're reading these things, just don't read it to get information. Or maybe you're listening to it in the car or listening to it on app. Don't just do it to get information. There's a transaction going on here. The Holy Spirit is working through the Word, through the Spirit that dwells in you, to do some maturing, to do some changing, to give some instruction, to give some guidance. So realize that. Tap into that. Right? This is a supernatural business that we're into here. So you have to think of it that way, and you have to realize it that way. You ever read something like in your Bible in the morning, and a verse sticks out to you, and then maybe a little later in the day, you hear that verse again, and then you're talking to somebody a little later in the day and they share that with you. You think that's just coincidence. You heard that same verse 3 times in one day. Right? That's not how, there's no co- coincidences. God works, and he works that way, and he works through his word. We need to be people of the word, not just knowing the information, not just knowing the theology. Those are important, but realizing the great spiritual transaction that's going on there to instruct us, to guide us, to encourage us, to give us endurance, to help us with that self-denying love. Through it, we get encouragement, right? Meaning we get motivation. We get motivation. A lot of times we don't know the ways that we're supposed to do things. As I'm reading the Word of God, I'm thinking about you. This is how I pray for you. I think about where you sit. So when you sit somewhere else, it kind of messes me up. But I generally know where you sit. Like Melissa, I know you don't usually sit there. That's okay. When I pray, I picture you sitting over here somewhere. But I think, right, I'm reading the Word of God. And I'm thinking, and I'm going systematically through the rows or whatever. And I'm thinking, and I think about the different things going on in your life. The things that you've shared, or things that we know of, or things that have happened to you. And I pray for you in that way. But it's motivated by the Word of God, by what God has going on in my heart through the Word that day. Use it. Use the Word of God to pray for each other, to grow in these ways. It is the motivation, but it's also the endurance. What does that mean? Self-denying love is hard. And we tend to give up on stuff when it's hard. Now, the truth is, it's the hard stuff is the only things that are worth having. The easy stuff, the things that come easy, they fade away, right? It's the relationships that you got to work for that are the ones that endure. It's the things that are hard to get that are worth having. So, if we need endurance to not give up in self-denying love, we do it through the Word of God. That's what Paul's saying here. We need endurance, we get it through Scripture. We need motivation, we get it through Scripture. Do you see how critically important Scripture is? Now, maybe it's coincidence that this sermon is getting preached the first message of the new year when everybody's encouraged to try a new year resolution and be in the Word. Maybe. Maybe it's coincidence, or maybe God works that way. Maybe he gave me the flu so Scott could preach last week, and I didn't preach this one last week, and then here we are this week. Let's be people of the Word, and not just knowing the Word, but whose lives are moved by the Word of God. Okay? We want to encourage each other with the Word of God. This is how it works. This is how it really grows. The Bible wasn't written so you can have a bunch of do's and don'ts. It was written so that you have knowledge that, or it wasn't written so that you have knowledge that others don't, so that you can lord theology over them. It was written for your instruction so that through it you are both motivated and sustained by God. You have the words of life through the Word of God to be able to come to salvation. And then for believers, we have the words of life there to give us instruction so that we are encouraged and so that we can endure. In this context, the thing that you're motivated and sustained to do is a life of self-denying love for the upbuilding of brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those who have not matured in Christ. It says through it you have hope. And I'm going to get into that next time that we're together. But the hope is that when you live the self-denying life, that it's not without purpose. We don't just deny ourselves to deny ourselves. There's purpose in that. You grow in that. You grow closer to the Lord. The fleshly common sense says, if I do these things and I take these things, I'll be happier. If I look after me, I'll be happier. But the spiritual side, faith says, if I give all that up and live for God and live to love others, God will not only provide that, but he will give me something greater than what I could have come up with on my own. That's the hope. That's the hope that we cling to. A bigger hope. Hope says, when you live that self-denying love, both you and those you are loving will be blessed through it. Because Scripture reframes our reality. The flesh says, this isn't fair. I've done enough. Why am I always the one doing this? Why am I the only one giving? This person isn't changing. What's in it for me? I like things my way. Or some version of that. But through Scripture, our hope is renewed to see that God's work unfolds slowly and often through suffering. Imagine loving someone who rarely says thank you, often misunderstands you, changes slowly, if at all. Kind of how we are with God. Without Scripture, you tend to do what? You tend to pull back. You tend to protect yourself. You tend to ration your love. But with Scripture, you remembered Jesus loved you when you were slow to change. God is patient beyond what you deserve. Faithfulness matters more than efficiency. Scripture keeps love from becoming conditional, transactional. The hope that we have in Scripture relies on grace. God's grace to provide us with endurance and encouragement. We don't deserve anything from God. We actually quite the opposite. What we deserve is punishment. So any good that we get, even for a second that we get it, is God's grace. We don't mature because you've worked so hard to grow in holiness. You mature by God's grace and God's timing through the life that God has given you. So if someone is immature in Christ, it's because they need God's grace, not because they need to try harder, not because they need to be more like you or more like so-and-so, but by God's grace. Grace is what we need. Grace to love those who require a self-denying love from us, a Christ-like self-denial for building them up. The same grace that God showed you and continues to show you each day. As the men come forward and we prepare for communion, I want you to think of a New Year's resolution. You can keep all the ones you've already made. Not one of self-improvement per se. There's nothing wrong with that. But right now, as we're passing out communion, I want you to think and pray on how God wants you to practice a self-denying love this year. How is he asking you to trust him, to take up your cross and follow him? Something that may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. How is he asking you to love his people for his glory? How, think about this, how is this body and this blood calling you to live sacrificially for God's glory and for the upbuilding of others?